Hello and welcome to A Writer's Journey, the podcast that will talk about everything the aspiring author wants to know about going from blank page to published. I'm Sarah Whitford and I'm here with my co-host Terrence Zepke. Today we're on podcast number 8 and our topic is Who's Your Protagonist? This was a great idea Terrence had. I'm excited about doing it. As you all know, I'm in the midst of revisions, as some of you know, I'm in the midst of revisions on my novel, The Smuggler's Gambit, right now, and it is definitely a character-driven novel. In fact, I thought up the idea for my main character before I thought up the idea for the story itself. And so, Terrence, how about starting us off with this conversation about helping us think about who our protagonist is? What are some things we need to be thinking about?
Okay, well, with your, I think we should back up a minute here and talk about the character-driven so that people understand what we're talking about. And, of course, you know, character-driven means your story is moving forward based on your protagonist. You know, it's more about your protagonist than it is about anything else. It's a character-driven story. And some people have a dispute over which is more important, but from research I've done, pretty much all the experts agree that the best stories are character-driven. And so you should strive to make your story with a character that will achieve. That's a big burden, don't you think?
Yeah.
And so your character has to bring your story to life. And so one of the things that, you know, makes all the difference with bringing the characters alive is your dialogue. And so you need a lot of dialogue in the novel. And so that's something else to be thinking about. Show and tell. Show and tell. And so while there's great debate over which is more important, the characters, the story, or the dialogue, I think the best solution is to carefully consider all three as you write.
Okay.
And a rule of thumb is that all prominent characters and settings need to be introduced within the first 25% of your book.
Yep, that makes sense to me.
I know.
So, I've been struggling with throughout writing The Smuggler's Gambit. I have been really struggling because I find, you know, I know that the whole thing, they always want you to show rather than tell because people want to see action. They want to read about action. And action doesn't necessarily mean swinging from vines, you know. I mean, action just means things happening, people talking, people doing things. And so, you know, I've really struggled because I find a lot of times I have scenes where there are talking heads. You know, I mean, you've just got people dialoguing and there's not enough setting there. So I have to go back in later and add setting and sort of give the scene more context. I mean, I try to give it as much context as possible with the dialogue, you know, but sometimes I feel like I'm really shortchanging the reader on just the description of the setting. And so, there's a balance there. You have to learn to strike it. I'm learning as I go.
Writing's not easy, is it?
No, it's not. No, writing's easy. Revising and making it really good is what's not easy. So.
Good writing is not
that's
easy.
That's right. That's right.
And so one more thing we should mention here is you have various plots in a good book.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just one plot. But you have a main plot or a major plot, as I'm sure you do in your story.
Mm-hmm.
And this major plot should absolutely rock the world of your main character and force a reaction from him or her within the first 25% of your book.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got this 25% rule. That all your characters, your prominent characters and your settings need to be introduced, but also your major plot. And this call to action for your character needs to also come into play during this first 25%.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just something I wanted to throw out there while we're talking about the main character there. And I think an important thing to mention here is that the reader needs to feel something towards your protagonist. And that's very important, no matter what the emotion is. It just needs to evoke some sort of response. Hopefully it's the response that you're intending for the reader to feel. But they need to, and you and I touched on this, and you could, if you could expand on it for me, for everybody, that'd be great. We touched on this before we started this episode about a change needs to occur within your protagonist by the end of the book. It needs to grow and change for the better or the worse, but you have to have some kind of substantial change by the end of the book.
Sure.
So why don't you talk about, I think you mentioned character arcs is what they call it.
And yes, and unless you're writing about Batman, in which case there might not be any growth from the beginning to the end. He's the same, you know, or Indiana Jones. You don't see a whole lot of growth in Indiana Jones over the course of those. I mean, granted, there's movies, but nevertheless, you know, you definitely have some static character arcs where they just really don't, they really don't move a whole lot. They don't grow as a character a whole lot. But you have a positive character arc. I learned about this actually from K.M. Weiland. I heard her do a really good series on this. And a positive character arc basically means your character starts in one place in life, but by the end of the story, he's learned a whole lot about himself. He's learned a whole lot about the world he's living in. At the beginning of the story, he believes a lie. There's something that he believes that's wrong, that's skewed, that's inaccurate in some way. And that might be something that propels him to act and end up learning more about the whatever the lie is and finding out what the truth is. It might be something that keeps him from initially acting on it, and then he ends up having to act on it, and it's through acting on it that he learns about what the truth is. But by the end of the book, he should know something about himself. You know, you have the classic story of a character who, you know, like a rags-to-riches story. You know, you might have something like that. But it's not as interesting if it's a guy who just wins the lottery and by the end of the book he's wealthy. No, the thing that would be interesting is if he starts off poor as dirt, but by the end of the story he's okay with that. And he's learned to appreciate himself and found a lot of value in people as individuals, and then he wins the lottery. You know what I mean? So then at that point, he has grown as a person. It's not just the change in his circumstances that makes him have grown through the story. A negative character arc would be where someone starts off, seems like everything's going fine with the character. You know, they have a good family, they have a good life, they have a good circumstances, situation, what have you. But then due to a number of just terrible choices, by the end of the story, their life has just gone to hell in a handbasket. You know, and that's a negative character arc. I'm not a fan of stories like that at all. I don't want to be depressed when I read, you know, but there are some people who really enjoy that kind of thing. So, you know, that's something to think about is what do you want to have happen with your character?
You know, it's interesting we were talking about this because we met at my book club just the other night, and they always pick these books that have these dark endings. And, you know, I like happy ever after endings. And everything doesn't have to tie up all nice and pretty, but mm-hmm. sometimes it's nice to have a nice ending there. And so they always, everybody in the book club seems to like it when it goes to this dark phase and all, and then it comes out, you know, like you're talking about there. And I'm not a huge fan of that, but apparently that's just very popular with a lot of these things. And the book we were reading is Light Between the Oceans. And I won't do a spoiler alert there, but just to say that I love the book right up till the ending. And then, you know, it's just like, well, why did they have to do, you know, why did the author have to do that? Mm-hmm. And that's another thing I guess we could mention though, that your protagonist could be very reluctant to change.
Yep.
He could fight it. He could be very stubborn. He could, you know, whether it's for the good or bad, we could see a struggle going on, which makes it, you know, and so that's a good thing to consider as you're. But I think something that we need to be sure to mention here is that your protagonist needs to be out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to be something sort of larger than life, something memorable. He or she needs to be imperfect. They need to be complex. You know, we just need to see a lot. I mean, there's a big burden on the protagonist through the story, and I can't hammer that home enough, that there's all these questions that I think you need to sit down as you're creating, because you may have an idea like you did
mm-hmm.
for who you want your main character to be, but then you've got to round them out, don't you?
That's right, and you know, one of my favorite techniques, and it seems like we talked about this a little bit on an earlier episode, but one of my favorite things to do, because you want to make sure that your characters, doesn't matter where whether you're dealing with your protagonist or not, you want to make sure that they behave consistently throughout. And if all of a sudden they start reacting to things differently, there needs to be a reason for that. I mean, something needs to have happened in the story to make them start seeing the world in a different way. But one technique that I love is doing a character interview. You know, did we talk about this on a podcast before?
I don't think we did.
We might not have, But I know that I've had a lot of conversations with people about this, because once I found out this technique, you know, I absolutely love it, because if you ever get stuck sort of trying to get to the heart of your character, something you can do is you just sit down. For me, it works best with a composition book, because something about the pen in hand and actually writing it out longhand. You know, I write down questions, and then I think, and I have my character respond. And I have to write out the answers for the character, but I start getting into the character's head. I start finding their motivation. I start finding their secrets. I start finding out the things that make them tick in the way that they are. You know, sometimes, like I found out by doing a character interview with the protagonist for Smuggler's Gambit, is that he is a chatterbox. It kind of took me by surprise, because when I first thought him up, I thought he would be more of a brooding, you know, kind of silent type, but it turned out he wasn't. But
that's important, because as you're writing your scenes, mm-hmm. that's something you've got to factor in.
That's right, and it gets him in trouble sometimes, you know.
I bet. Well, let's talk about this, some of the questions. Mm-hmm. I've written down a few things, and I don't know if you have some things in mind, too, that we could just kind of go over, just a few things that people can be thinking about mm-hmm. during this, what you call an interview, which is a great way to put it. And so it's physical as well as emotional mm-hmm. Questions here. Like, is it a he or a she?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who do you want your protagonist to be? Who's going to tell the story? And how old is he or she?
Mm-hmm. I started off by asking, you know, writing down simple questions in sort of the early planning stages. You know, what's your full name?
Yeah.
And then I wrote down, well, my full name is, you know, and then I wrote down the full name. And, tell me about your parents. And then, you know, he explains the situation with his parents. And then that turned into something more than I expected it to be. And then, you know, then you start asking questions like, well, things that the character, you know, you might riff off of something that comes back in the answer. You've written all this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like you're conducting a seance and speaking into the spirit world and getting answers or anything. But
well, yeah, here's what we should say to people, though. As you go through and you ask these questions, if there's one that you don't know the answer to right away, or you're not sure what you want to be, mm-hmm. like, say, is he good-looking or is she pretty?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you hadn't thought about that. Well, maybe go through and answer some of the other questions, and that will sort of, you know, take care of itself.
Mm-hmm.
With some of these questions.
Well, and see, I probably wouldn't ask it. You know, if I'm doing a character interview, I probably won't ask the character.
No, but
are you attractive? Are you good looking? You know what I
yep,
mean?
Yep, this is something you would need to know.
You would need to know, yeah.
Yeah. Is he arrogant?
Mm-hmm.
Is she snobbish? Is he funny?
Mm-hmm.
Is she serious? What will he or she lose or gain during the story? What will he or she sacrifice? How will it affect him? You know, Who is, like, in your main character, who is he close to? Does he have a BFF? Is the BFF going to play a prominent role in the novel? Is this person going to be a loner? Or is this, during the course of the novel, they're going to find their true love? Or, you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
I do.
I know what you're saying. And I won't answer any of those questions about my current novel. But but I will say, you know, before, because I don't want to forget, one thing that I think is really important is backstory. I would have been surprised at how much I've enjoyed actually writing backstory for my characters, because it definitely allows you to do better in terms of foreshadowing, because then you can start tying together elements that might be in your character's backstory with things that happen in your character's future. You know, there might be other characters from your character's backstory, perhaps characters that your main character doesn't even know, but then they pop up in your character's future. You know, one series that did an amazing job of this are the Harry Potter books. I mean, they just, you know, well, not just the Harry Potter books, really any good series, you know, does this. The Lord of the Rings, you know, that any good series is going to do this. But, you know, when you know that you have backstory, then you can start building all kinds of things in for the future.
And we are going to talk about backstory and foreshadowing and some other elements in a two-part podcast that's coming up. So we will get more into that, because that has a whole other conversation, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But just, do you want to tell some more questions that you might ask during this interview or that you might want to, you know, so a lot of mine are things that, you might not necessarily ask in an interview, but there are things that you need to know about your character.
Right. Ask yourself before you even start. I mean, because you really aren't going to start interviewing a character if you don't already know the questions that you asked. I mean, mm-hmm. Some of them, like, for instance, you're already going to know the character if it's a male or female, and if they're, you know, you're probably going to already know if they're, you know, attractive, if they're socially awkward. I mean, you're probably going to know.
Are they married?
Some of that.
Divorced?
Right. You might know some of that.
Do they have children? You know.
But for me, I found that the character interview process is one where it's, I mean, I really treat it as though I'm sitting down to interview a person that I've never met before. You know, that I might have heard a few things or read a few things about the person. Granted, it's my character, so I obviously haven't heard or read anything about them. I'm inventing it. But nevertheless, I sort of treat it that way. There might be a few questions that I have in mind right off the bat, but at that point, I just sort of riff off of the answers and come up with new questions based on the answers that the character gives. When I feel like I have a really good, solid grasp on the character, it might take me, you know, 3 pages, 4 pages, you know, gosh, there are some people who might fill notebooks with character interviews. I'm not going to go that far. I feel like by 3 or 4 pages, I should know my character pretty well, you know. But once you have that, then all of a sudden, you feel like you really know that character better. So as you're writing the novel, you can make sure that the kinds of things that they say, you should know how they speak, for instance. You know, I'm writing a book that's set on the North Carolina coast in 1765. I have to keep in mind, you know, the way people spoke in that time in history, how they sounded. I'm not writing a lot of dialect into the book because that people don't like to read it. You know, I'm not interested in trying to do, especially around here. You know, Terrence with the hoitoiter brogue. I mean, that's basically how everyone on the coast and in eastern North Carolina spoke back then, unless they were recent immigrants. You know, and so I'm not going to try to translate all of that into my novel. But nevertheless, there are certain characters in the book that I know use better grammar than others. There are some characters that might use more slang. There are some characters that might have more of a tendency to repeat things.
Even if they don't have a lot of dialect, you're still conveying this information through.
Well, when I say dialect, I mean, I'm thinking about, you know, I'm not going to use a whole lot of writing out words, you know, putting apostrophes on the ends of them. If I'm leaving out letters, I'm going to spell it, you know, mostly the way that it should sound, but I'm not going to overemphasize, you know, certain coastal southern dialects because I think it does become a distraction. You know, I think you can do it in a way that's not as hitting you over the head with it. I mean, it seems like I remember reading that even in, it seems like I've read that from some writers who are far more experienced and who know a lot more than me.
Yeah, so I think this is a good thing to picture. You can picture your main character in your, if you close your eyes, you've got a vision of what he looks like, right?
Yep.
And I think that's real important because if you can't vision what your main character looks like, if he doesn't seem real to you, I mean, by the end of your book, your first draft, did you not feel like this was a real person? This was not just...
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I feel like everyone in the book is a real person.
Yeah,
now,
and that's how it should be.
You know, early on in this podcast, it might have been the very first episode, you made the comment about people don't even need to worry about the, you know, who's going to be in the film version of their book if it ever gets made into a movie or whatever. But one thing I have heard that people do, and I will admit that I have done it myself, is I might have certain, not for all my characters, but for some of my characters, I might have actors in mind that I'm sort of envisioning as I'm writing the character. Not because I would be broken up if that actor didn't play the part if there was a movie, but it's just because, you know, naturally we are influenced by people that we know in real life, whether they're people in our family, whether they're people that we've seen on television, you know, or movies, and or even characters that we've read about in other books, you know. And so that's the knowledge we have of people and what people are like is from people that we know. And so there are definitely a handful of characters in my book that I know I had in my mind's eye certain characters or actors that I've seen portray characters in other films. So.
And you knew right away because you're setting. So you didn't have to answer the question, where does he or she live? Where is the story taking place?
Right.
Because that was all spelled out for you. But setting is pretty important. So if you, you know, as you go through this, if you don't immediately have something in mind, you need to be answering those questions too.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can't have a southern drawl.
Right.
If he, you know, if he lives in Maine.
Right.
I mean, unless you explain that.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, so you have to think about that. And we talked about that, and you said, like, he's a chatty sort. For your character, but it could be that they have they talk too fast, or they have a tendency to quote things, but they misquote them when they speak. They might have a particular feature or attribute, like maybe they've got freckles,
mm-hmm.
or the bluest eyes you've ever seen,
mm-hmm.
Or anything like that. So, just all these kinds of questions, and I'm sure you can look that up. I'm sure there's things, out there, like a list of questions, but I'm just trying to give you things to keep in mind as you're shaping your protagonist. Maybe they're OCD. Maybe they're notorious for being a terrible cook. For you, again, how they might dress has already been decided, because your error that's been done. But you know, that's, you know, is it a compassionate person? Is it aloof person, you can't even tell much about the person by what you've revealed.
Is it a risk taker? Is it somebody who's timid and afraid? Is it, yeah.
Is it, and what about where, we talked about where he or she lives, but where do they live? Are they in a lighthouse? Are they on a farm? Are they in a trailer?
Mm-hmm.
Where do they live within this small town?
Mm-hmm.
And for you, again, your story is easily sorted out what kind of vehicle they might drive. Cause I guess you're in the horse and buggy.
Yes, standard model horse cart, unless you're a fancy gentry, in which case you might have a nice tricked out horse cart, you know, with a nice cover on top. So.
So there's just all these kinds of questions, and I think you should have these, and then also do what Sarah recommends, where you sit down and interview, and you ask some things, and then you've got a really good idea of who and what your main character is. And then you should do this with all your characters that are of any consequence.
That's right.
Yeah, because you want to be able to convey all this to your readers in some way, whether it's through dialect, whether it's through narrative, whatever it is, you just got to be able to get it across to your readers. And another thing, I think we should make sure that your composite of characters should be diversified.
Mm-hmm.
They should each be different from each other and with different kinds of relationships and interactions.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is real important to make note of. How you share this information is going to depend on the point of view that you've chosen. And you and I have talked about point of view in an earlier episode, because according to whether it's first person, third person, third person restricted, whatever, that's how you're going to be able to get it across to the reader. So that's an important thing to remember as you're deciding your point of view. But for me, I just wanted to make sure the whole point of this was that you're putting a lot of thought and TLC into your character. That's really what I just wanted to make sure to get across in this episode, because he or she has a huge burden to bear in the success of your novel, and so I just want to make sure that, you know, your character has shaped up the way you think he or she should. So that's my part.
Absolutely, and I want people to really know their characters. You need to know as much as you can about your characters. If you have a character that is a complete grouch, like, all the time, you need to know why. Your reader might not need to know why, but you need to know that character's backstory to know what shaped them to be that way, because it will help you when you're writing the story to make that character more consistent and for them to react to certain things in certain ways. It'll just have, you know, help you to have a better understanding of that. For instance, if the character grew up in a home where they had a really abusive parent, you know, and so that makes them a real grouch, but then they might have a soft spot when it comes to kids, you know, or something like that. You need to know the character's backstory, even if you don't reveal it. But this is true of any, like you said, any characters of consequence. You know what, Terrence, I think it would be a good idea if we put some resources on the website, in fact, both of our websites will make sure we put resources for getting to know your characters better, character interview questions, and some of these other ideas and things like that. And folks, if you want to share this podcast with others, if you want to visit our websites, mine is Sarah.
Oh, hey, before you wrap up, can I give you my quote of the day?
Oh, I forgot about your quote of the day. Yeah, how can I forget the quote of the day?
I know. Okay, this one's from Jude Devereaux. Rather than describing my characters, I try to come up with actions to show what they're like.
Okay. That sounds good. Okay, very good. All right, well, again, that is this episode, number 8. And if you would like to visit our websites, mine is sarahwhitford.com. That's sarahwhitford.com. And Terrence's website is terrencezepke.com. That's terrencezepke.com. You can also subscribe to A Writer's Journey podcast on iTunes. And we'd like to encourage you to do that. Of course, you can always listen right from our websites as well. And we thank you for joining us and look forward to next time.